Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to the YCLA Magazine Radio Show. I am your host, Katrina Dalway, and thank you so much for joining me on today. As always, I am always excited to speak with you, to hear what you have to say via email, to help in any way we can. As you know, YCLA stands for You Can Live Again, and you know how passionate I am about that. We are really just excited to be able to share what we love to do and how we love to impact you, impact your life, and all that, you know, your purpose to do. You know, that's our whole goal. That's our whole thing. And so I'm just so excited to be speaking with you on today. So without further ado, yes, I am Katrina Dalway, and I've got a story. You know, I've got a wonderful story to tell you. Boy, do I have a wonderful story to tell you. And I want you to know that, you know, I have pretty much been tested in every way, form, and fashion. But I really want you to understand how important it is to know that it's not meant to harm you. It's just meant to make you stronger and better. And I know that if it had not been for those trials and those tests, you know, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. And so it has really made me better because, again, many of you know I used to be the biggest whiner. Yes. And so I had to learn the hard way that, people really don't care about your whining. And that is a true, true testimony of mine and how I was so determined to become stronger through adversity, through hurt, through pain. It made me better in handling situations. Do you always, you know, reach the max? You know, no, we continue to grow and grow and grow. And I just want to encourage you, don't get discouraged because you may have had a setback, you know, and you know, in the midst of that adversity and you got discouraged or you feel like you let yourself down. You haven't. You get back up and you fight again to become stronger and stronger in who you are. And you know that you can live again. And that's what YCLA Magazine Radio Show is all about. But listen, we are really excited to have a wonderful lady on with us today. I'm really excited. Like, when I got her book, I had to go out of town, and I took it with me. I didn't really get a chance to read it, but wow, I was just like, I just felt in my mind I was going to be able to read her book all throughout. But, you know, the fact that I really had to take this book out of town with me really said a whole lot. So I'm really excited to have none other than Lena Cisco on the line. Thank you for joining us, Lena.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
That was a great intro. Thank you so much. I feel honored.
Well, we are honored to have you. So, did our listening audience know? You wrote the book. Oh, crazy, awesome title. Exclamation mark. I don't know if that's me or not. Let me make sure that's not me. But you wrote the book. You are the author of You're Lying. And just so our listening audience knows, it's a book from this wonderful, powerful lady who's in a woman's, who is in a men's world.
Hello? Did I lose you? Hello? Lost her. Did I just lose you? Hmm.
Nina, thank you so much. We had a drop call. Oh, my God.
I know. I was like, where did she go?
Oh, my God. Can you believe it? You know, okay, fine. I'm done. Digital. Right. Yeah. We love you, digital.
I know, right? I'm like, thank you, thank you. Technology. Oh.
For real. Yeah,
well,
I'm just really
God. I gotta get back.
Thank you so much. Oh my God. Okay, so I kept held on. I pressed continue to make sure that people knew that we were still going on. So just to pick up where we left off. I'm like so freaking pissed right now. Okay. We are speaking with you with none other than ex interrogator, and she has ability to. So I'm like,
if you can hear me, for some reason you're coming in and out. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you really well. Can you hear me now?
Okay, now I can, yes, because I was catching every couple of words.
Gosh, I'm like so sorry. Great job, yeah. So, you know, I'm really excited because I always said, you know, I've been a previous business sales consultant, and I always say, you know what, I would make a seriously great private investigator. So I'm like so ready to get off into your mind and just talk about it, you know. Well, let me ask you this. Lena, did you ever explain, you know, want this type of career path?
I just told someone yesterday, I was at an interview with PBS, and that was one of the questions. It's crazy how I ended up as an interrogator in Guantanamo. I was a former archaeologist, and I had just challenged myself. I put myself through Brown University. I got my master's there. Was digging in Tuscany, Italy. I came back and I had no job. So I had a good friend of mine who said, well, I know a way you can get supplemental income. You can join the Navy Reserve. And I looked at him and said, are you crazy? I'm not joining the military. Months later, I was raising my hand getting sworn in. So, and I thought,
wow,
why not? It does sound pretty cool, intelligent. You know, I loved James Bond, and I thought I could do that. So I said, let me challenge myself yet again, and I'm going to join the military. And I signed a 6-year contract, I think, at the time. And off I went on this incredible career. I was stationed, I went through my basic training, and I got stationed at a drill unit in Newport, Rhode Island. I'm from Rhode Island, and it was the War College with Office of Naval Intelligence. And it was my third weekend. I was still brand new, and I had this commanding officer come up to me, and I'm lowly little E3. And he came up to me, he said, Seaman Cisco, have I got an opportunity for you? You look like a woman who is just wants to challenge herself and has all this energy and enthusiasm. And you have charisma. You can talk to people. We have a program that we're looking for some pretty, kind of people who are ready to take on something a little different and a challenge. And it's called Interrogation Prisoners of War. And my face dropped, and I was like, what? You think I'm a good fit for that? And I was like, huh? And so I said, well, could you explain a little bit? So we started going on how we would be deploying in these horrible environments and talking to prisoners and all. And I was like, oh, sir, I think you have the wrong lady. So I went home that night, and I got so mad at myself, and I said, you know what? The main reason why you joined the military was to challenge yourself, and you just denied a challenge. You just turned away something. So I got so mad.
Yeah.
The next morning, I went into the drill, and I searched out this commander, and I said, Commander, sign me up. I'm ready. And thank God, because it just changed my life.
Wow.
And it was a great decision. And after that, I had gone through all my training. I ended up graduating like the top of my class, school, where you were tested physically, emotionally, mentally, and I would go through school not being able to eat because my stomach would be in such knots because I was so nervous. And, you know, going from that to graduating at the top of my class, and then I got picked up commissioned. So I got commissioned to a naval officer. And I remember I was sitting in my officer candidate school, but for reservists, I was a reservist at the time. It was a condensed school in 2 weeks. And we were on a break, mm-hmm. and I was in my etiquette class. And Miss Yankee, I'll never forget her name, was teaching me, or the whole class, etiquette procedures. And we went on a break, and I was in the break room, and I was finishing some coffee. It was just early in the morning, and I was watching Matt Lauer and Katie Couric, and all of a sudden, they panned to a shot where a plane was hitting the World Trade Center. And I thought, that's not an accident. It was my initial gut feeling, because people at that time didn't know what was happening. And I thought, that was unintentional. And then the second plane hit. And then a half an hour later, another commanding officer had called down to the school I was in, that was in Pensacola, Florida, and said, get ready to pack your bags because we're going to war and you're going to deploy. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm actually going to use my skills in real life. Yeah. So it was pretty. And then a year later, I was in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, in a prison with 600 detainees.
Wow.
So that's the crazy path onto how I got there.
But it's like you went from almost like, if respectfully saying this, a little schoolgirl to a woman, like, overnight, you know?
It's like,
I mean, in a man's world, that's crazy.
Yes, and it really was. And people would, when I tell people what I did, the first two questions I get are, number one, what was it like being a female there? Because, you know, with all the press, and we know that culture has a complete disrespect for females. Not everybody, but the majority of, especially the extremists, have a complete disrespect for females. You know, how did you deal with that? And
oh, my God.
You know,
can we talk about that just right quick, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Because being in a man's world, they will try to play games with you. Matter of fact, I just, this is not just the man's world per se, but I dealt with a business consultant and with regards to a special deal that I was doing with this particular person, and they literally looked me in my face and told me they didn't say what they said a couple of weeks ago. And I knew it was because they thought they could get away with it as a man.
Yes.
And I'm amazed at the amount of men that play games like that. So I know you experienced it.
Oh, I have. Oh, yes, I've seen it. I have a lot of my female counterparts and colleagues come up to me and say, how do I deal with this guy? How do I deal with office bullies? How do I get that promotion because a man's in charge? And so I counsel my friends and colleagues on what to do, like body language, what to say, how to present yourself, all of that stuff, to come in on that even playing ground.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I had gone down there, you know, I actually had the advantage of being a female because I tell people, think of this. Here these detainees are. They're expecting some big Marine to come in, right, be all rough and tough and, you know, kind of intimidating. And then all of a sudden they say me. I was back then, I was 120 pounds. I was 5'4". I walk in a military uniform and they're like, what on earth is that? So it wasn't intimidating. And now they're curious as to, I'm a female, but I'm respected by my male counterparts. So the interpreters I worked with, all the guards I worked with, they were all saying, yes, ma'am, what would you like me to do, ma'am? How would you like, you know, they're respecting me. And the detainees saw this and thought, who is she? You know, who is this woman? So I actually not only got respect from them, but I was able to build rapport with them because I was non-threatening and not intimidating. So being in that environment in the prison system with the detainees helped me immensely being a female.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, you definitely lounged into the deep here. This is just, you know, to me a reflection of what YCLA is about, you know, really stepping on water, you know, and pursuing that very thing that you love, or that new purpose and that new destiny and that new faith walk, you know. And then really, really weathering the storm, because you seriously weathered some storms. I mean, we're talking about not a storm. We're talking about men.
Yeah, right? Yes, it's true. It's true. And it's funny because I was just, oh my God, not too long ago, I was at a dinner. And I was with a friend of mine, and there was a couple of girls I had just met that were friends of his, and there's one beautiful girl. Oh, my gosh, she was just charming. I loved her instantly. We're having dinner, and she leaned over to me, and she whispered, she's like, okay, so she found out what I did. She goes, how or what can I do? There's a person in my office, and he keeps taunting me and doing this, and I feel like he's setting me up for failure. What can I do to combat that? And I was like, this is what you're going to do. Get a pen and pencil. I want you to write it down. I want you to study it, and I want you to practice it, and I want you to go in Monday and do all of this. And she's like, I'm
wow.
Really well. Yeah, but I just, the book, and some people say, they think, okay, so I have five techniques. The book's called You're Lying. It's all about detecting deception. But there's a whole other part of my book, and that's empowering people. Because nobody in this world should be taken advantage of and disrespected. It just shouldn't happen.
Oh, my God.
I don't care who's,
yes.
You know? And so when you learn to catch people who are trying to disrespect you and take advantage of you, then you've won the game. Because you're not going to let them. And that's the whole premise behind my book. It's empowering ourselves. It's feeling confident, being confident. It's building rapport with people, building trusting, lasting relationships, whether they're personal or professional.
Right. And because, honestly, it is a very crushing thing to be done like that when someone literally tries to demoralize you, and they have no conscience about it, and then they turn around and lie and say, you know, that they didn't say, you know, what they said they were going to say, and you're crushed because, you know, they are a person of status. They are a person of status. People are looking at them, and you're like, can you believe this guy is acting like he did no wrong? And all I could do is just, you know, go into prayer.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of men, especially in my world with all the A-type personalities, who get very intimidated by a professional, strong, confident woman. And when that intimidation comes, they get very aggressive. And they will try to put down her accomplishments. I've seen it over and over. Men get intimidated by a powerful woman. There's a way to coexist. You know, when they see, there's no reason why a man should feel threatened. They should actually feel good because now they have a colleague and you can create that common ground, you know? But there's still those who feel threatened. The only reason why they feel threatened is because they're lacking self-assurance and self-confidence in themselves. And so when something comes in and they're looking at this person walking in with all this confidence, now they feel threatened, so they go to being aggressive instead of respectful. And that's typical of human behavior.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew it or not, but, yeah, the call dropped again. Yeah. This is one of those days. This is you've got something to say, okay? You have got something to say, so I'm glad you were in the zone. I'm so glad you were in the zone. Before this call, I don't know what's going on today. This is weird.
Yes,
it could be the inclement weather that's going on. You know, it's been a tornado storm and all that kind of stuff that's gone on in the past. It's just, you know, only a few miles away from us, and it is dreary.
Oh, my
so,
gosh, you know what? I bet you that is it.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah. What do you have to say, Dan, to our listening audience before we get off the phone? Because I can't wait to interview you again and talk to you again, because I'm like, by that time I would have completely read the book and been empowered myself. You know? Seriously.
It's just I just want to say to people that you set your goals. You're in charge of your own life, and you can succeed at anything you want to do. And I'm living proof, because let me tell you, a bucket list was to write a book, and I did it. You just have to stick to your guide, and you cannot let people tell you any different. You can't let people bring you down. And if you read my book, you're going to get a lot of tools to empower yourself so you can actually have that confidence. And I tell you another thing, embrace your failures. because we learn lessons from them. I share a couple of embarrassing failures in my book. And, you know, at the time they were happening in my life, I wanted to crawl under a rock and die. But then I thought,
wow,
no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go back fighting even harder and stronger. I'm not going to go slink away. I'm coming out with full fist. And I did, and each time, and, you know, we're all going to fail, and we'll continue to fail at certain things. But that's just life. So you just embrace it. And instead of looking at it as a bad thing, take the lesson learned from it.
Isn't that a beautiful thing that what you went through, you ended up helping hundreds of thousands of people?
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, it was so meant to happen so that you can help us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it was so, so, and he trusted God to me, God, our creator, you know, the great one, trusted you enough where you could withstand and go out there and get back to us. And so, you know, with that being said, I'm going to be on your PR person about having you come back on a clear day.
I would love to. I would love to come back.
Yeah, that way we can. I really want to kind of dig a little deeper. Just to our listening audience, please, I apologize for today, but please make sure you go and pick up her book, Lena Sisko, You're Lying! Exclamation mark. Secrets from an Expert Military Interrogator to Spot the Lies and Get the Truth. I have her book. So.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm just really, really excited, and we can't wait to speak with you again. And thank you so much again for joining us today.
And thank you for inviting me, and I look forward to our next chat.
Yes. So without further ado, to our listening audience, listen, I love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you so much for listening. And again, we have another great radio show next week. If you email me, yes, we're bringing Lena back. So, yes. So, be on the lookout because we have to. We all need her.
Let's
help. So, thank you again. And until then, love you. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.